policy. Well, no, folks, it's every woman's worst nightmare to be told that you have breast cancer. One day you're going about your life, and the next minute you're facing a life-changing experience. And this is what happened to my guest here this morning. Céline O'Donovan, you are very, very welcome, and thanks for taking the time and the patience to come into us.
Hi, Noel. Thanks very much. I'm delighted to be here. My first visit to y'all.
Yeah, you actually surprised me.
I know.
You know, you were never in y'all before.
Never.
Oh, my goodness.
I've been to a lot of the country, so I'm embarrassed nearly to admit it.
I know, yeah.
Oh, beautiful, beautiful part of the country. It's lovely.
It's a lovely part. Oh, it's a lovely part of the country. An absolute gem. Like, you haven't seen the half of it yet.
Yes.
You know. Céline, tell me, 6.5 years ago, you were diagnosed with breast cancer. Tell me the story.
Okay, it was February 2016, I think February 11th. I don't think I'll forget that date. Yes. As anyone who's got bad news, you know, we'll always remember that date. I was working in the university in Galway at the time. So I'd been about 10 years on the road, which I loved. That's why I'm surprised I didn't end up down here. But I travelled to a lot of schools, sort of talking to students about going to university in Galway.
Yes.
But I'd have to say maybe 3 or 4 years before, and this is why I'm sort of very passionate about sharing my story, because I can say for 3 or 4 years before, the warning signs were there. I can't say for cancer, but definitely I can say I didn't feel really myself. I felt, and I'm sure a lot of people can relate to it, a lot of people I meet do. A lot of, I was feeling I was approaching burnout is the only word.
Yes, you were, you were burning the candle at both ends, as we say around here, actually,
exactly.
Before all this happened.
Exactly, and yeah.
I suppose, is it a common thing of our society today that we're all doing that?
Oh, I believe so. I believe so. I can only say, I'll give you just even a little bit of background before that, because I think everybody is unique. So I don't claim when I share my story, it's my story. And I hope someone can take something from it.
Exactly.
But each of us have our own. Everybody could write a book and everyone has a story to tell. But I would have had a number of things happen to me even, I suppose, years before that. I was married. I was up in Dublin. I worked in the bank. I loved it for quite a long time. Then my marriage came to an end. It was a very traumatic end. We're great friends now, but that led me to spiral down into, I'd say, I didn't even know it at the time, Noel, but I'd say I was very depressed. Now, I kept the show on the road. This is where I feel most people you meet, we all wear masks. We do our best.
We do.
We have to keep, you know,
like the fried egg, we keep the sunny side out the whole time.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And there is a cost, I believe, and it comes for everyone at a different time. You know, so I managed years of, I'd say, a lot of low-level anxiety, depression. I feel I had to be depressed because I felt very without much joy in my life for a lot of years. I abused alcohol. I overworked. Everything you can name it. So, and then I ended up back in Galway, but I don't feel I dealt with what had happened to me. You know, that marriage breakdown and other, I suppose, emotional stuff that I hadn't dealt with. And I think most of us are conditioned to stuff everything down and keep going. And that is my message. There is a cost. We're not designed to be running like machines, to be suppressing how we feel, to be putting on this mask all the time. It is just not sustainable. And I think we're seeing it on a much bigger scale now. And that's why I have such a passion about sharing my story, because I think, you know, and sometimes like people might say to me, well, if you heard the warning signs, why didn't you do anything? Because I didn't really know at the time what to do. And, you know, unfortunately, sometimes we have to get the big one.
The big one. Yeah. But is it a common thing that we tend to, I know that men do it an awful lot, that we're introvert. Women are slightly different. They're more extrovert. Right. And men tend to say, oh, look at the warning signs are there, but look, it might be like the plumber's leak, it might go away itself.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah. Oh, I did that for a few weeks. No,
did
I did
you?
That. Oh,
yeah.
I did. I felt I was sitting up in bed. Sorry, I started telling you. I was sitting up in bed reading a book and I sort of felt something. I thought that's a bit of a lump or something. And I sort of, something in my mind went down the road of wonder what that could be. And then I think I just shut it down. And
yes,
I worked away.
It was a denial.
Oh, denial.
Pure denial.
Because I knew.
It might be a cyst. It might be something. Yeah.
I didn't even
just
really.
Just hard growth or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So I was on the road, and at the time I can see I was 10 years. I worked, travelled. I had been in India with the job I was in as well, internationally, and China. So I basically worked all of my, whatever was going on inside, you know, this discomfort or maybe not so much, you know, not enjoying life as much. I sort of just overworked, really. I was like a workaholic. Mm. So I went back to work and I was traveling the country again. And I remember it. I was down in Clonmel about 3 weeks later and I was with a friend from work and we were having lunch. And I happened to say it to her, just something in me said, you know, this is nagging. You know, we get this nagging voice. And I said, God, you know, I found a bit of a lump. And she said, look, I'd go to the doctor. It's probably just a cyst, but, you know, you really... And yeah. I knew it wasn't. I just knew it wasn't.
You had that women's intuition, as they call it, you said, no.
Yeah. I think it's not just women's. We all have it. And that is my... That would be my message.
The gut feeling, they call it, is it? Yeah.
You have to let that be your guiding force in life, because I have, since cancer, and it's changed everything. It's our wisdom. It's our truth. It's everything. So at that moment, I knew, even as she was saying to me, I said, I know that's not a cyst. But I rang my GP in Clonmel, next day, back up in Galway. It all happened so fast then, into the GP, lovely. She didn't alarm me, but she started going under my arm as well. And I thought, this isn't just in the lump isn't just in the breast. She's obviously going down up under my arm. What's that about? So again, she referred me to breast check in Galway, really quick to be seen. But even in that time, I put it out. I told nobody, didn't tell my family, told nobody, kept going. And the day before the appointment, I told my sister, I think that was it. And I said, don't worry about it. It's, because that was my pattern in life. Keep, you know, you learn to put on this, as you said, sunny side up. So I never showed how I felt. So people just assumed I was always very easygoing when I wasn't really inside. But I went up to breast check. They did a mammogram and I'd arranged to meet a friend for lunch. That's how in denial I was.
Yes.
I was still going.
Yes. Life went on. Life goes on.
And if you're operating at speed, it's very hard to suddenly stop. So I had the mammogram and next minute they said, you're coming in for a biopsy. And, you know, something's clicking away in my head going, OK, this ain't so good. And then they put the needle in under my arm. And I sensed, I knew straight away, just tears came and I knew there's no getting out of this. But I'll just say, Noel, as well, when they brought me out very quickly, I wanted to run out the door. But the consultant came in, cup of tea was put down for me. And the minute the cup of tea was put on the table, I knew this isn't good news, because why are they giving me a cup of tea if I'm meant to be going home? So he came in and he had a load of student doctors and nurses with him. And he's a wonderful surgeon, because a wonderful consultant, Michael Kern is his name, because he set it up. He said, look, I can just tell you before the results, I've seen it before. You have breast cancer. It's treatable. You'll be fine. We'll look after you. It's a year out of your life. So he was very upfront. The only way to do it.
The only way. Yeah.
And I wouldn't say it was a year out of my life. I'd say it was the year I started living after that, to be honest. It's changed me in ways I cannot fully describe. And the interesting thing is, once I got over the shock of the news, which was absolutely, you know, when your whole world that you've been trying to keep all the balls in the air just comes tumbling down. That's basically what happened. I couldn't hold, you know, so here I was trying to juggle everything, keep everyone happy, keep my job, keep all of this. And it all crumbles and you're just hands up. I can't do anything. And once I surrendered into it, there's nothing I can do. I never felt so much peace. This might sound the strangest thing to say, because something in me let go and went, okay.
As I said at the very outset, it is every woman's nightmare. Right? And up to a couple of years ago, the older people referred it as the big C. They didn't even want to talk about it. But at least in this enlightened age, people like yourself are coming forward and talking about, yes, I did get breast cancer. It did affect me, but my life changed. Mm. We're going to take a short commercial break, Celine, and we should be back directly after this.
This is COY 104 FM.
Falter River Harn, Ashgoody and Clough, folks. You're very, very welcome back to the programme. My special guest is Celine O'Donovan. She's author of a book called Gifts from the Devastation. Celine, just before the ad break there, we were talking, as it was, and you led us through the story that 6 years ago you were diagnosed, as you thought there, with the heartbreaking news that you had breast cancer. From that... And it's like the oak tree, the little acorns growing into a huge oak tree. It was a life-changing experience for you.
It was, Noel. Yeah, absolutely. I was saying to you, I think that the shock that everybody knows when you get any sort of bad news, you know, your life changes in an instant.
It makes us basically take stock of our lives.
We
take our health for granted. And we're here moaning and cribbing and moaning and groaning about silly little things.
Yeah.
You know, it's like the child playing at the edge of the seashore while behind him a vast sea rolls on.
That's it.
And that's exactly what life is like.
Yeah.
But in your case there, you turned it to good.
Yeah, I think so.
And the beauty about it, you wrote the book on it, which would be a marvellous help to somebody just going through the same thing.
Well, I hope so. Yeah. And I really, the book isn't just, what I would say is it's not just about having gone through cancer, because I lay out my life and a lot of challenges, like I said at the beginning. And I hope then I share how, you know, having gone through all of that, you know, challenge of cancer, how changing my life and what I've done to, I'd say, to be honest, the key to me is I'm living more authentically as me. I've slowed down. I live a simpler life. It's a work in progress because I still have the challenges. I had to shift from a life where I was working and living really fast. I couldn't go back to it because I wasn't able.
Did you find that hard, the transition? Did you find the transition very hard?
I was going to say that, Noel. It is the most difficult. When you're in the system, you're sort of held. And I've talked to a lot of women about, like, in the same boat. So here I was out of treatment. You're no more appointments for a while. You think that's great. And then you're left just the ground. I could say it's like the ground went from under me. I couldn't go back to my old, but I didn't have the energy. I had severe fatigue, but I knew it wasn't for me. If I was listening, like my life made sense. I say to people when I got the diagnosis in a weird way, because all of the warning signs that I had been feeling, I knew I'm not imagining this. Something isn't right. I'm not living the way I'm meant to live. That's all I can say. And then someone showed up in my life. This is what happens, I think, when you surrender and you trust something greater, whatever that is for you. I knew I was sort of just wandering around, not knowing what to do. And a friend I hadn't seen in 20 years showed up and told me about a course. An old teacher, a retired teacher of mine, was running called The Artist's Way. Now, it's not to do with being an artist. It's a book by Julia Cameron. So it's a course. You can read the book. It's all about just getting to know yourself and creativity and what makes you tick and what you like and what you don't like. So it was a lovely bit of time out with a nice group of women once a week in her house where we all got to chat and share. And out of that, she said to me, she knew me from years ago, she said, you're always talking in this group about how cancer has changed you for the better and the lessons you've learned. You know, that could be useful for people
that's
to hear.
Like, it's so unusual to hear that statement that you made. So unusual to hear. Cancer has changed me for the better.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So unusual.
I know. Well, I don't know. Maybe not anymore. Maybe it is, maybe not. So I've met a lot of people who feel the same. But maybe but I think there's also a thing in our society that you have to be very careful. I say that not out of any, let's say, disrespect or trying to diminish what people may be going through, because I know I was on my knees with it as well. I mean, I really was. The treatment is pretty horrific. You know, it's very difficult. So I don't say it lightly. But it was so horrific, I had to go, well, what is this mean? What is this going to do for my life? Am I just going to try and go back? So that is why I wrote the book. She said to me, would you not think of writing down what you're saying to me here when we meet? And I said, I don't know about me writing. And I went home. This just shows we sometimes need other people to unlock the next stage of our lives. Always. I've seen it. And I went home saying, what? I don't know what she means by that. And I took out my laptop and I didn't stop writing for 6 months. And that's a bit of an exaggeration.
But it just flowed.
It flowed. Now, I didn't know it was going to be a book, but I knew that something needed to be come out of me and whatever it turned into. And as a result of that, then I went on to train as a life coach. I had done a good bit of healing work years ago. So I would say to anyone listening as well, every experience, no experience in our life is wasted, no matter how at the time it may feel, because I'm finding now everything I did 20, 30 years ago was sort of coming back into play in a new way, like new jigsaw pieces fitting together. Because my desire also and dream is to support teenagers, because I loved working with teenagers and I saw the stresses they face when thinking about what to do after school, but to really trust themselves, their own gifts, and also to support people one-to-one. So that's why I did the coaching and the healing work, and I want to bring that together as well as my writing. That's it's finding a purpose, isn't it? You know, you're here on radio. We all need to find a purpose. I finally feel I have a purpose that may be worthwhile and may help others, because that's, I think we're all here to help each other and help humanity in general, because we all have special gifts. Everybody is unique.
Just getting back there, I suppose, to the time you were diagnosed and the time that you actually realised, right, I have breast cancer. Fear, anger, disbelief, sadness, numbness. Can you relate with all those?
Yes, for a short period, yes. Numbness, definitely. I felt like when I got the news, I said to people, it was like I hopped out of my body. There was like just, it was all just autopilot. I can't even, yes, you know, like anyone, I'm sure, who got bad news, like somebody has, yes, died, you just, something else takes over. Mm. I had no fear. I have to say, I had more fear in my life before cancer. Isn't that a strange thing
to
say?
That's a very strange thing.
I know. I was afraid of everything. I was afraid of not being good enough. I was afraid of trying to keep up in the system. I was afraid of people finding out that I felt like I was wearing a mask. I wasn't really showing myself. I wasn't really showing. I'd never had dealt with the pain of something years ago in my life. Like I talked about it. People say people talk, but I hadn't felt it. I hadn't sat down and cried my eyes out and really gone and really been honest and open with people about how vulnerable and how in pain I had felt a lot of my life. And I think if you meet a lot of people, and I have over the years, who have before, you know, say to feel depressed or anxious, it's because we're suppressing depression. I heard someone call this, when we suppress ourselves, we depress ourselves. And the opposite of that is we express ourselves.
Yes, you know, and we expand,
we have to do that. So great freedom has come. Yes, I don't think I had any fear because, to be fair, even though, now I delayed treatment because I didn't know.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, for a while, because I used to deal with, I wasn't too sure I wanted to go down that route, which might sound strange to some people, but I had lived a very natural life and I knew there was a deeper, everything shows up in our body, everything. And that is the wisdom and that is the magic of our bodies. It's always, we have to listen to the body because it knows what is, you know, what's going wrong. So I knew this way of life is not working for you.
Obviously, when I say, you know, there are several types of cancer. There was aggressive, non-aggressive. Mm.
Well, mine was quite advanced. Like it was between stages.
That's what I said.
When you say
you delayed.
Yeah. Not delayed at long. Yeah. He did say to me, take 3 or 4 weeks, because they know it's shocking, yeah, and just take a bit of time to absorb, yeah, the news, which I did. I was also working with various different sort of natural healers as well. But it wasn't, I always knew I was going to go through treatment, but I still, something in me just felt I need to stop. I can't, because you're putting yourself through something really, really, it was aggressive treatment because it had gone into my lymph nodes.
Oh, had it?
Yeah. So when I came back to the consultant, he said, no, he was really nice at sleep. Come on, you know, it isn't getting any smaller. So I knew, and I know this might sound strange to people, I knew if I'd had the time, and because I've seen it and I've read about people, that you can come back and heal from these illnesses yourself. You really can. But I didn't have the time and I wasn't ready emotionally to do that. So I have great time for the system, and straight away they got me in and, you know, I went through 9 months, maybe 10 months, but really 2 years.
But it gave you a certain type of strength as well, didn't it? Something like this, and I've heard this, that something like this, when we're faced with something like this, it gives us such huge strength, like a death or cancer.
Yeah,
found that.
Yeah, and I think what I was saying to you earlier, this whole thing of just being, you have to surrender. I think this is the shift for me that has changed everything, because we're in this world of doing, you know, trying to control our lives, control everything, control paying the bills, control. I had to let go. Everything just pretty much collapsed. And in that, how I describe it to people, it's very hard in some ways, unless you've been through it. It was like I broke open, because I had been holding on. But as a result, I couldn't see the big picture of my life. I was so caught in the day-to-day.
Yeah.
And next minute, everything was taken away. And I said, I'm not dead. I'm still alive. The sun is still shining. The birds are still singing. You know, yeah, I'm still here.
You were off the treadmill. You were off the treadmill of life.
I was off the treadmill. And there's a brilliant book. I didn't read it, but the title will tell you enough. It's called The Hamster Wheel Isn't Motorized. And the minute I saw the title of that book.
Brilliant.
You don't need to read that book.
You don't need to read. The title will explain it all. It's not motorized. Exactly.
So we do it to ourselves.
We do it to ourselves.
Yeah.
Bang on,
and the system will tell us that you have to. And I know many people, but I think the system doesn't change unless we change.
Yeah. Yeah.
We are the system.
Yeah.
So if one by one we don't start, and I know many people who've created new lives. It's been challenging because I'm still trying to find a way of living a life that's quite different outside of the system, but yet I'm in a world where it's telling me the opposite. So that is the challenge. But I think the more of us who say, no, this is not okay anymore, because we have to remember back prior to COVID and lockdown, I saw it. I was 10 years on the road, the anxiety, the stress, the problems that people were having in the world. And I saw it even with teenagers.
Yes.
You know, we can't pretend that life was wonderful before then.
Yes.
And didn't, I'm sure like you, everyone in the last few years has learnt a lot, I would imagine, about the pace of life.
Yes, exactly.
What's important.
And I think very important as well is we all have a deep down need, I suppose, to be wanted, to be, you know, and we make that goal for ourselves. We raise the bar too high and we try to push and push and push. And unconsciously, we don't know, but we don't realise we're doing it.
Yes.
But as it says, you learnt, I won't say the hard way and I won't say the easy way, but you learnt
the only way.
the only way that you could.
Yes.
The only way that you could.
And unfortunately, most people will say the normal run of life is not enough. I've read it somewhere that the discomfort of staying the same has to be greater than the discomfort of changing for us to change, if you know what I mean.
Yes.
Because if you're going along and managing, like, why would you maybe, and I understand it, because I didn't do it. It took, as someone said, you had to get a 4x4 at the back of your head for you to say, I have to do something.
Yeah.
Because if I had walked into work and said, oh, everything's too fast for me, I can't do this anymore, they'd have thought I was crazy. So in a way, it gave me a bit of an out.
See, society, I suppose, society today expects that of each and every individual.
Yeah.
It's called the rat race.
Yeah. And we're not rats and we're not machines.
Yeah.
And I'm determined, if I do nothing else for the rest of my life, to remind people of that. Because what you find is we are not human doings. We are human beings.
We're human beings.
And we've been conditioned to believe that an easy life where you don't have to struggle, that you can enjoy, be out in nature, earn your keep, you know, do whatever it is. But not, I was working 12 hours a day and I still didn't feel I was enough. And this is the problem. This doing is not what our value is about. We are valuable just by being here as human beings. It is the greatest gift to be alive. Mm. You know, just to be alive. I've just such gratitude every day. I go out in nature. Nature always reminds me. And just to go, here you are breathing. Here I am in y'all, being able to look out at the sea.
Being able to look out at the sea.
Yeah. Yeah. We only have now. We only, I know it sounds a cliche and it is. And you only create your life in the now. That's the other big shift for me. I didn't ever felt a victim. I said, this is shifting me to know everything, how I talk, how I think, how I speak. That is how I create my life. That's how I got writing a book, because I talked to people. That's how I found a publisher. I dreamt about it. I talked to people. I believed in it. I researched. You know, I really said, I am creating, you know, I am creating a new life. Now, it hasn't been easy. It's been much harder in many ways, but it is true to me. Like, I wouldn't change it for a moment. I wouldn't change it. I have a lot less materially than I used to. May not always be the case. I wouldn't change one second. Because if you can live with yourself and just go, I know I'm being me, I feel a sense of purpose, I feel a sense of peace, nothing else matters in my book.
True.
And you're helping others. My only passion now is to be of service. I think we're all here to be of service to each other in sharing our gifts, because everybody's got such unique gifts. But we're all corralled into being this sort of homogenous, as you said, on the rat race.
On the rat
race. And this is why people are suffering. We're not designed. We're not machines. You know, we are nature.
Yeah, well, you and the book basically are a leading light for others to follow. Because there's so many people and so many women out there listening to us this morning and saying, I wonder, if it was me, how would I react? And again, I suppose every one of us listening to you this morning are saying that. If I was faced with that crossroads in my life, or that cross, how would I handle it? How would I do it?
You'd find out you're so much more than you believe you are. That's the gift. That's gift out of something.
That
so
is something
difficult.
Like this, and this is what we were saying. It gives you inner strength.
Yeah, yeah. Because what's the choice? I suppose that's it. Now, the key thing, and I don't know if we touched on this earlier, Noel, is the most important thing, because initially when you get devastating news, whatever it is, you need to get support. And I reached out to everybody and anybody who would support me. Mm. And once you reach out to support for support, and particularly talking to someone who's gone through what you're going through, you know, there's nothing that beats someone who's been through on the path that you have been. And that's my dream, as I said, is always just as people who've been further down the path than me brought me along. That's my hope, you know, that I can maybe put up my hand to someone who's going on the path that I've just been on and say, it's okay, you can come through this.
You can come through.
And there's people here for you, and you don't have to do it alone.
That's the thing.
We don't do anything alone.
That's the thing. And I suppose when you're diagnosed with something like that, the first thing you think is, look, I'm alone in this great big world. Mm. But there is help there. And that's the bottom line.
Absolutely.
The tapestry of life.
Yes.
Tell me about that.
Oh, I forgot about that.
I didn't. Tell me about the tapestry of life.
The Tapestry of Life is about...
It's a fascinating title, by the way.
Oh, well, yeah. I thought it would be it's funny because I wrote this book before that book, but the universe has great plans that this wasn't meant to be published till now. And when I brought this book to a self-publisher in Galway, she said, would you think of writing fiction? And I was like, fiction? I've just written my own story. What do you mean?
Yeah.
So I said... well, why not? Okay, I'd nothing else to do. And I went home, and as I was driving home, all these little voices were in my head, not going crazy, and little characters.
I think there's a touch of A.K. Rowling about you.
Oh, I don't know.
I think there is.
Well, the interesting thing about it was, just as you said there so rightly, Noel, I said, you don't do this alone. The biggest, what was going through my mind at the time, because I was just through cancer, was community. I was just seeing how the power of community was changing my life. Beyond, I've been a bit of a lone wolf on my own. I'd sort of been a survivor. And I saw how community had changed me and how we all weave in and out of each other's lives as we are needed. And that's where the title came from. You know, if you see a tapestry on the wall and they say, and you're back at a distance, you just see this beautiful tapestry. And then you go in really close and you see the individual threads and that each of us are those threads. And we don't know. Like, I didn't know I was going to be down here today. If I made a different choice and went back to my old job, you know, who knows? But I'm meant to be here. And I've listened to that voice. So that tapestry is all of us make up this beautiful, beautiful life that we're all living.
Yes.
But we need each other. And, you know, that's so the story is it's fiction, but it's about three women in Galway, three different generations of women, because that's sort of what happened to me after cancer. That woman who came into my life and asked me what I think of writing was a teacher. She hadn't taught me, she'd been in the same school.
Yeah. So it's basically fiction. Based on fact.
Exactly. There's no such thing as fiction. I heard, who was it, some writer, I can't remember his name, he's Irish, he's in America, he wrote some great books, but he said, I don't think there is anything as fiction, because everything is based, like, it's coming from me and my experience, so people, they always say, you know, is there anyone in there? Probably is. I'm probably in every character, like, there's three women of three generations, and they're very unlikely... would you say bedfellows or whatever, but they weave in and out
of each other's lives,
and that's exactly I you know,
but that's I suppose that's what we're all doing
exactly. Yeah. And when we trust it, you see, I think that's the thing. I don't know if you talked about intuition at the beginning or the gut feeling. To me, that is my GPS now in life. I do nothing unless it sort of resonates with me and feel right. And I would say to everyone, that is your way. When people say, how do you go inside? And what do you mean by go inside? And you're, that is it. Your body, that little gentle voice that doesn't roar at you. That's our old ego that shouts at us and tells us we're not good enough. The other voice that's soft and nudging and sort of says, maybe you should go off down to you all. Or maybe you should listen to that. That's the voice you follow. And you follow that voice in life, you will be looked after.
And that inner voice will give you inner peace.
It will give you inner peace. And exactly, Noel, that is it. Yeah. That is it. It's that simple.
Yes.
It isn't always easy because there's another voice shouting at you saying, but you should be out doing back on the road now working 12 hours a day and, you know, you should be... But I just ignore that voice now. Every time it rears its head, I just go... No, thanks.
Can I ask you, Celine, looking back in your experiences, do you think that your lifestyle pre-breast cancer contributed to breast cancer?
Oh, yeah. Oh, course.
Would you think so?
Oh, on every level. I see illness and disease as mind, body, spirit. Everything has a starts. They say that because we're all energy. Everything starts, you know, it probably started years ago. It probably started when I was a child. I learned from a very young age, not knowing this. I know this now. And this isn't blame. This is taking, I suppose, ownership of my life. I was quite sensitive as a child and I learned to sort of shut down and shut down how I felt, shut down how I didn't speak much, you know, maybe making up for it now. But the opposite, the tap is on.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
So I developed a way in life and I think, you know, I heard a doctor say once, years ago, he's a well-known doctor, Dr. Gabor Maté, wrote a brilliant book just for people who are interested in books like this called When the Body Says No, The Hidden Cost of Stress. That's one book I'd highly recommend. And another book, The Body Keeps the Score, by another great doctor, a very holistic doctor. So that in itself will tell you, you know, that the body always, you know, so everything was contributing. Mm. Emotionally, I suppressed a lot of how I felt, as I said early on.
Because doctors will tell you, I suppose, looking at, I suppose, quite apart from the emotional side of it, from the scientific side of it, I suppose, from the medical side, doctors will tell you, okay, in your DNA, there is a certain tendency in some people's DNA to lean towards cancer. More people say no, you know.
I don't fully, to be honest, I think there's lots of books. There's a book called The Biology of Belief, a Dr. Bruce Lipton. It is shown scientifically now, epigenetics, that environment is partly our emotions as well as our lifestyle, is the biggest contributor to illness. The actual genetic component of something that is... I'll be very careful what I say here because I'm not a doctor, but I'm just saying from my perspective in understanding my illness, there was lots of things. I was running, my diet probably, the thing is, for many years prior, my diet probably hadn't been great. I said I drank a lot, I smoked, but a lot of those I had stopped. And the reason, you see, you've got to go back behind that. Why was I drinking a lot? Why was I smoking a lot? Because there was a discontent and a dis-ease.
Yes.
And dis-ease does not come from, for no reason. Dis-ease. There was dis-ease in me. I always felt diseased is the only word to say.
Yeah, you weren't in harmony with yourself at all.
That's it. Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly.
And you turned to creature comforts, for want of a better word.
Yeah. So it comes out. And I know we say, of course, all of those things play a role. But you've got to look behind those. If you're eating loads of sugar, why? There probably isn't much joy or sweetness in your life. And it's not to... I'm not criticising anyone. I do that now. I'm no way perfect. I do lots of things. We're all works in progress. And I suppose all I try and do is just share where I am on the journey. I've a lot to learn still, always, or the rest of my life. And I love... I spend my days listening, learning, watching other people, reading, soaking up, you know, just everything, because that and then we have to come to our own unique perspective. I think that's what we have to allow. As you said at the beginning, we're individuals. We have to allow each of us come to that unique choice that is right for us. The inner, as you said, that inner harmony.
Yes.
And once we do that, I think we can be, you know, diversity within, what would I say, you know, we can all be different and unify at the same time.
We can be at ease with ourselves, I suppose.
Yeah. And allow others to be themselves.
The book launch is today. Tell me about the book launch. It's going on today in Dungarvan, isn't it?
It's in Dungarvan in the Church of Ireland this evening at 7:30.
Lovely.
And yes, I'm really looking forward to a wonderful man called Patrick Power launch. I had a bit of a sort of at an event in Doolin a number of months ago and invited me down, and I'm very, very grateful because aside from anything else, I'm getting to see this beautiful part of the country.
Oh, yes.
But yeah, I'm really looking forward. So I hope anyone who I'm going to do is just share a bit more of the story. I'm going to read a few extracts. I'm happy to take any questions. I'm selling the book, obviously. But yeah, it's really just, I just want to share my story and a story of hope as far and as wide as I can. That's the whole reason I'm doing this. So yeah,
I have to say you're an inspiration.
Oh, thank you.
You are an inspiration because, as I said, there's so many people out there that will take comfort from what you're saying this morning.
Oh, I hope so.
You know, and again, I know it sounds a bit strange now for a male to be talking, I suppose, about a breast cancer, but I will appeal to any girl or woman out there, listen to your body.
Yeah.
Listen to your body.
And to men.
Don't ignore, and to men, I suppose, yeah, exactly, and to men as well. Don't ignore the warning signs. No. Go to your GP.
Yeah.
Or get advice on it.
Yeah.
And the sooner the better.
Yeah. And even before, sorry, Noel, even before, I know it's hard to, I could have said that about myself, but if something, and we're all, I know, if...
But hindsight is a wonderful thing.
Oh, it is.
Hindsight
is wonderful. I had to go through, I wouldn't change. I've written in the book, I say it in one of the chapters, if I had to go through the year of cancer again or the year before, I would choose the year of cancer every time, because I learned more in that year than I learned all of my life. I learned more about myself, my abilities, my powers, my strength, my resilience, my... gifts, my creativity, everything. I couldn't learn. We don't learn.
That's amazing.
But you don't learn.
It's very hard to comprehend that.
Yeah, but you don't learn in the good. You know, you do learn in the good times. But we really learn. When we have to dig deep into the dark, we have to go in. I feel into the chaos, the darkness.
The wake-up call, whatever you'd like to call it. You have to go there.
To come out, like, you know, the diamond, the rough, you know, to come out and really find, what am I about? Like, you know, all this. So, yeah, I wouldn't change a mo. I'm not saying I would wish it on anyone. I absolutely wouldn't. If there are signs in your life that things aren't right, whatever you can do to help. I'm not saying you can just walk out of a job or change everything overnight. But just to start, even every day, just a little bit, just start listening to that little voice inside that wants to be heard. Because it is you. It is your truth. It is who you are.
True.
And it wants the best for you.
And medical science today is after moving on in such leaps and bounds. As you said, there is care there. The breast check. And as well as that, there is aftercare there as well.
Absolutely. Wonderful aftercare and support, which I availed of. I went, and I would say, go to a counsellor. I went to everything and anything that was on talks. And it really, but the biggest, I used to go up to Cancer Care West in Galway initially for a good while. I went to a counsellor there. I went to someone else outside of there as well. But I did a nutrition course. It was very interesting while I was going through treatment. And it was, you know, people who were going through cancer, men, women, all stages, all types of cancer. And we'd sit up there at the counter and the nutritionist would come in and she'd cook some food and we'd all get to chat and have a cup of tea and taste the food. That was the best treatment of all.
Best treatment. The interaction, I suppose, with people, the interaction. Céline, it's been lovely having you.
Thank you, Noel.
And I'm delighted you came in. And I'm sure, as I said earlier, you're an inspiration, I suppose, for an awful lot of people out there that are feeling down and depressed at the moment and that have been diagnosed with this form of cancer. Again, the end. It's not the end. It was a new beginning for you.
It was absolutely a new beginning.
The book launch, folks, takes place today, as I said there, at the Church of Ireland on Garvan today at 7:30 p.m. And cock in, you're invited to come along and to hear how this experience by Céline has changed Céline's life. Céline O'Donovan, it's been a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you, Noel. Pleasure mine.
indeed, I suppose to follow on from that, we were talking about, I suppose, basically, you know, why worry? You know, life goes on. This is a little song that I picked up, I suppose, during the week. It's done by a group called Laid Back. I haven't heard of them before, to tell you the truth. This is a lovely number called Blue Lagoon. It's all about laying back, taking life seriously.